Praise you, Lord God. Are you ready for word tonight?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God. I'm trying to decide whether to share this or not. When I came tonight, people asked how it went yesterday. I said it went great, but I expressed some disapproval at a lot of, you know, some of our church members not showing up. I had nobody in mind. Please forgive you for that. That might have been some frustration from yesterday. So, we're doing great. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you took that personal, please don't. Who wouldn't? And those that didn't come, may God have mercy on your souls. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to pick up on a course of teaching we started a few weeks ago in here. Talk some about homecoming. We could only really scratch the surface of homecoming. I want to take it a step deeper. Amen. Maybe a couple steps deeper. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance, the foundation, sub under, stance, what you're standing on, the foundation, the undergirding, the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? And the word evidence, though, should be really translated conviction. Faith is being convinced that what you can't see is available. Amen? And it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report, right?
Yeah.
And of course, we call Hebrews chapter 11 the Faith Hall of Fame.
Yes.
These are people that God recognized, personally named them, for using their faith for specific purposes. And then it says, by faith we understand the worlds are really ages were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made to things which do appear. And so by faith, God set in line all of the ages. But as I mentioned at homecoming and before, I heard Rick Renner ministering on this topic. And he said, really, that should be better translated. Not translated, but understood. He's talking about the elders. That they framed their ages. By hearing and obeying God, men throughout history have changed the ages. How many know that Noah changed his age? Right? Moses changed his age, the time he lived in. Changed the course of history. You know, David changed the course of history. And so it's talking about, not about what God did, but what God did through man. Through submitted men who would obey him. And so we started looking at individually what these men are doing. And just to back up with some of the things I mentioned before is, one of the hardest things for me to do is to minister what God needs us to do to change. I'm convinced we're called to go to the glory. But I'm equally convinced we can't go there with our current level of knowledge, understanding, and application. Do you follow me? If we already knew when we were doing everything, we'd already be in the glory. God's not waiting on us. I'm sorry. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us.
Yeah.
God wants to release the love, release the glory. He needs a people qualified to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Jim mentioned this Friday night. God can't bring the glory on us now because with the glory comes greater, how can I say, power behind the words we speak. And we'd be raising the dead one moment and cursing somebody to death the next. Amen. So there's change required. And my job, I'm telling you, every vision, every dream I've had for the past 40 years, to my knowledge, has dealt with the glory of God. God's let me know without a doubt, I want your teaching on the love and glory and really the presence of God.
Yes.
And how to step into it. Which means I'm going to be teaching some radical change. Amen. How many believe I teach some radical change topics? And the thing is, not everybody wants to change. Some people are saying, Pastor Jack, keep it coming. Others are going, I can't take any of this. Or, you know, even the ones that want to work it, we're not always doing it perfectly. Right? And you can almost get exasperated by hearing other things. Now, for us, it's not a new thing, but for new people coming in, it is. What if I say we're responsible for controlling what we say? Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yes.
Death and life is the power of what we speak in our tongue.
Yes. Yes.
Did you know to the average Christian, that's radical? That's a radical concept. How about the concept that by building our faith, we can access every promise of God? We never have to be sick or broke another day of our lives.
Yeah.
To us, we've heard it so many times. That's, of course. But if the average Christian would come in here, who could ever do that? That's impossible. Amen. How about this one? I believe the Bible says we're to take every thought captive. You're to monitor every thought you have. Is this from God? Is it from the devil? Is it from me? And those that aren't from God, let's just restate that, those that are from the devil, we throw out.
Yes.
You cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge.
Yes.
To me, that sounds normal. I practice monitoring what's going through my mind. I practice trying to hear and align my thoughts with the Word.
Yes.
How about you? And I refuse to let my mind, to the best of my ability right now, not to go into some stupid imaginations that have no value in the kingdom. But when I tell the average Christian coming in here, you need to monitor what you think. How do you do that? That's impossible. And it can be so demanding change that people become hopeless. Because sometimes we've heard things, you know, forgiveness, right? Even tithing and sowing. It can be like, how can I do all this? And as a pastor, it's, how can I say it? Not challenging is the right word, but almost draining to share a word that God gave you that demands stretch. But you know people are being overwhelmed by it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many felt overwhelmed by a message before? Beside me. I felt it. I go to the Kenneth Copeland Ministry Convention and I see what he's built by faith. I go to Tulsa and see, oh, are you what he built by faith and seed? It's like, whew. I mean, I was just trying to get out of debt for many years, you know. Trying to keep the utilities on or whatever. Or at least paid up. We never missed any payments, but we had to pray in the money. And it's almost like, how can you do this? How do you do that? But yet there it is. And so, as a pastor, I'm demanded to keep stretching the flock, taking them to new pastures, greener pastures. You follow me? But the demand, some application, some effort. And so I was talking to God about this again about a month ago. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm just beating my people up, preaching the word. Not law. You got to do this to be saved. But here's things the word says are necessary to move into the glory. Amen. And the Lord instructed me to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And he said, what I want you to do, and this was, it was clear direction. What's funny is I was already reading. I just finished reading up to Hebrew through Hebrews 10. I'm coming up to Hebrews 11. He says, now that you're there, look at what the user faith for. Look at what the user faith for. I didn't know what it was going to prove. I mean, I know all the stories. I quote much of it. But I never contemplated what the actual user faith to accomplish for God. And so going through it, it demonstrated God's tolerance for the time it takes us to grow where we're to go. And the goal of this message is to tell you, we go from faith to faith to get from glory to glory. Don't let the devil beat you up on the path, and don't beat yourself up. Feeling like I could never do this, or I've made too many mistakes, or maybe God's done with me, or I can't make it. Just say, Mr. Ponytail, shut up. I'm going on. And keep your peace. Because if the devil can condemn you, he can steal your faith. Let's say neutralize it. Because you'll be thinking, oh, God's promised me this, but I'm not, how can I say, holy enough or accomplishing enough to marry. Let's look at this. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. Now, the first person mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame is Abel. And Abel brought to God a more excellent sacrifice. And here's what I believe Abel did. It wasn't that it was blood. It was that it was his best. Abel brought the best of his flock. Cain brought the leftovers of his crop. And God says, I'm not a God that's looking for your leftovers. Honor me as you would, you know, somebody valuable to you. Bring me the best. Or at least of your better stuff, right? First fruits. And God says, Abel did that. He's now in the Faith Hall of Fame. Now again, I ask this question we're reviewing right now just to get where we want to go. Did Abel ever see a harvest on earth of his seed he sowed? Never did. He never saw a bit of harvest. He sowed the seed in faith, sowed what was valuable to God, but he never saw the harvest. And God says, because of him doing that, he's in the Faith Hall of Fame. So here's what I want to start with. If you have sown seed to God, of course you have to be a tither, right? But if you sow seed to God above the tithe, you sow something valuable, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Well, I never saw a harvest, neither did Abel. Yet God says his blood is still speaking. What he brought forth, such jealousy in his brother, really in the devil who moved through his brother. He was murdered, and God says that gift is speaking through his blood today. And the first mention in the Faith Hall of Fame is somebody that brought God an offering. Now, I get picked on sometimes. Feel like I don't have enough faith. I mean, here we are in the borrow too. Right? That we're coming out of real quick. And the devil says, oh, you failed. Look at this. You missed God. Who do you think you are? What faith do you have? Well, I've sown something like 6 or 8 cars. I think 5 motorcycles. Not to mention major seed we've sown in the past. A lot. You follow me? Some of it I've seen a harvest on. Some of it I haven't. I've already done what Abel did. If you've done what Abel did, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Pat yourself on the back. Say, God's received my offering. And here's something else I want you to see. We're going to look at several of these things that men did by faith. And I want you to notice the list of things, different things they did. The list does not require you do all of them. They're individual. Let me explain that. Some left their homeland to find a better country, Abraham. Noah built a boat for 100 years by faith. Enoch walked with God and was not. And God mentions each of those as being worthy of eternal recognition in his word in the Faith Hall of Fame. They didn't have to do everything. He just recognized what they did do. So sometimes we'll hear people talking about their testimonies, what they've done by faith, you know, maybe they've seen miracles, they've, you know, opened blind eyes, or maybe they've built facilities or whatever, and the devil will pick out one of them you haven't done. Maybe you've walked in some of the giftings. Maybe your seed is produced in the past. You've sown some major things to God. You know, maybe you built a business, something major for God. And the devil says, well, you know, you never raised the dead. Oh, I have no faith. No, it's not that you do the whole list. In other words, we're to target doing all we can for God. But God's not not mention these people because they did the whole list. I have an itemized list printed out, but I can't show it overhead, of what they did with faith. You know, sow their best, walk with God, built a boat. You know, there's really, how can I say, consistency or discipline over to obedience over time. Leaving your homeland. I've got a list. Sarah gave birth supernaturally. And we don't have to do all of that. I don't have to experience personally supernatural childbirth.
Yes.
Regardless of how I might identify. The point is some of these things you may not be called to do. Some of these things you may not be positioned to do. Don't let the devil beat you up because you haven't done it. I've never built a city of faith. Or are you, right?
Yes.
I've not built Eagle Mountain yet.
Right.
Keep your peace, because the devil wants to point out what you haven't done yet and find that one thing and say, see, you thought you were a person of faith. So Abel brought forth a sacrifice. The first thing mentioned in the Word in the Faith Hall of Fame was about giving. If you determined to be a seed sower, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. I really believe much of what we see in here, God could put our names in it. God could put your names because you're doing the same thing. I'm convinced probably everybody in here, had you been the first man born on earth, Abel, you gave God your best. That's what Abel did, and he's in this list. It could have been, you know, Peggy brought her best to God.
My biggest tomato.
That's right, biggest tomato.
The biggest one had a rotten spot, so it was the second biggest.
I got you. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, he pleased God, right? Verse 6. And Enoch's notoriety in the Faith Hall of Fame is his relationship with God. He walked with God. Now, again, this would probably blow a lot of circuit breakers in a lot of religious Christians, but we can.
Yes.
We can know the voice of God, hear the voice of God. In fact, we can walk with God continually. And I intend to. How about you?
Amen.
Enoch became the first one to do it, and God raptured him as the first person taken off the planet supernaturally. So, you walk with God. If you hear the voice of God and you answer back, you respond in a way to follow Him. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Amen. Well, I've never, you know, seen the lame kind of come out of wheelchairs. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think would be more important to God? Have somebody come out of a wheelchair, or be somebody that walks with them all the time?
Somebody walks with them.
There was a time I would have understood that, but I do now. He's looking for fellowship. He's looking for friends.
Yeah.
The wheelchairs are just a side benefit. A really nice one, but it's a side benefit. Ain't Enoch, like us, focused on walking with God above everything else? Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and it became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah spent 100 years building a boat. Amen. The song goes, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy you a boat. He couldn't buy one, he had to build it. And so, how many have heard that song before? Just me. Country song. Maybe we need to play it later. Noah spent 100 years with his boys building a boat. And nobody believed him that rain was coming. A preacher of what God was going to do, he was proclaiming it. Nobody listened. After 100 years, he finishes it. God brings in the animals. God shuts the door. And it begins to rain. Rain really hard. When we went to Tennessee, we left last Monday. We got to Tennessee. We're going around 840, which loops way around Nashville. In fact, it's around Franklin. We got on it, and the heavens opened up. I've been in rain like I've never been for that long. We're running 67 miles an hour, however fast we could go, and all you can see were the taillights right in front of you for 50 miles. I've been in like that before, but usually for a few miles. This was for 50 miles, all we could see were the taillights. Thank you, Jesus, for angels. And so Noah built a boat. What have you done that God instructed you to do? Have you funded building a church? Have you helped start a business God instructs you? What have you done that God instructed you to do? What's supernatural, but an instruction of God, and you did it. Maybe you have to blame for the resources. We don't read a single thing Noah did miraculously. God shut the door. God brought in animals right before that. God caused it to rain. All Noah did was get him a big hammer. I'm curious for 100 years how much Noah had to stop and say, God, I need resources.
Yeah.
I'm out of wood.
Yeah.
Bring me some wood. Bring me finances to buy wood. I don't know that I was involved. It is known the trees were a lot bigger back then. And you had to believe God for maybe the finances for whatever God instructed you to do. But God said, do it, and you did it. I don't know how many. I do have some tracking. If I was going through my journals for the past 30 years, I journal every day what I do that day. Not paragraph form, but I write bullets. For example, yesterday, went to Bike Fest. How many miles I drove. You know, prayed for some people. Cleaned the roof of my pavilion. Whatever, I just pulled the form, what I did that day. And I would be curious how many churches I've worked on. A lot. How many churches I've helped renovate, add on to. Over the years, I get called on this stuff because I have some construction pastor background or, skills, and I get brought into it. I believe that counts as building the boat. And if you sow seed into building projects, God assigned business ventures. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Do you see this? Now again, we're still just reviewing. We'll see if we get through review tonight or not. It says, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham left his homeland, left his family. He had to take a lot, right? Left everything behind to go where God sent him. God says, leave. I don't know where he was going. And I believe some of you have left former churches because God said, you need to be over there. Well, I was comfortable while I was. There's a lot of people that are in dead churches because it's comfortable. They don't want to be stretched. They don't want the religious, parameters expanded. And so you said, hey, God, use me. If you're in this church for very long, and that includes everybody I see in here, you said, God, I want to fulfill your high calling. You said it. And so God says, okay, I got where you need to go. Amen.
Amen.
I got what you need to hear. God will tell you, listen to this message. Turn off that TV or whatever. You said, God, your will's number one in my life. And Abraham left his land. Let's just say he left his former church, his former denomination, and get where God assigned him. 1993, God told me, it's a crazy thing. I know it's hard to believe, but God spoke to me in a Sunday night service during praise and worship over on Palumbo Drive. God said to this, quit your job or you'll die. And with whoever cell I might be. And I knew what he meant. I was burning the candle both spiritually and secularly and trying to do two careers at one time. I was going to burn out. God says, pick one or the other. Quit your job. You know what I did? I left my homeland. No, because I left the career I'd spent years training for, had moved up in, advisory engineer, making a lot of money, more than I ever dreamed I would make. Great job, great opportunity. God said, leave it. And I went in the next week and talked with Pastor Callan, told him what happened. He says, do it. Went and talked to my boss, told him I'm quitting. And I went to the new place. Now it's interesting, it talks about Abraham not knowing where he was going. Neither did I. God didn't say, I've called you to do this and do that. Quit your job. He just said, quit. He didn't say what to do, where to go, nothing. Well, I was determined, I'm just going to pray. Seek God, get in the Word until I know. And of course, it started a series of divine encounters and appointments that led to here. And I've seen the water tower. I saw the water tower before he told me to quit. I think 4 years before he told me to quit, I saw the water tower. When I come to Georgetown, there it is. I didn't know where I was going, but God had a plan. And if you're one that says, God, wherever you send me, I'm going. Whatever I need to shift, I'll do it. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Are you seeing each of these are individual? They're different.
Yeah.
Look at the next one. Look at the next one. See, Abraham gets multiple accolades from God. Verse 80 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, left his land. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned. Here's faith again. By faith means there's something else he's receiving credit for faith. Abraham gets double credit here. In fact, he gets, I think, 3 or 4 credits throughout this passage. By faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham stayed in the land God sent him to. Well, I'm sure pressures and challenges could have had him turn back. I don't know how many people have done it, but many more than we have in church today in our churches. I watched hundreds, if not thousands, of people come in and say, this is my church, it's where God sent me, I'm getting fed, I'm getting trained, and sometime later they get offended, stretched, disappointed, whatever it might be, and they go right back to the dead situation, the dead church. I'm talking about in the thousands. If all the people have come in this church and said, this is my church, we'd be running 1,000 now. Come in and love it. God moves in their life. They receive a miracle or whatever. And next thing you know, God called me elsewhere. So Abraham didn't go back. He didn't bail out on God, even though he never saw the land of promise. He never knew that. That's what it was. He didn't bail out. Even though I'm sure there were enough challenges he was tempted to. You haven't bailed out. And I guarantee you, you've had that offer made with that voice come to you. You need to switch churches. This isn't working. This is crazy. How about this? They don't like you. You're not like them. The isolation attacks. I mean, cruel. Did you stage your ground? I'm telling you. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Your name could go in these same places with all these other patriarchs. God approves of your faith.
Get it in a minute.
verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she trusted faithful who had promised. Now something else I did when I made this list originally. I marked everything with an S or an M. Each verse I wrote out what happened in the verse. I marked each verse by faith, S or M. Any guess what the S and M's are? And is natural. S is supernatural. So when I got to Abel, by faith Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. That's natural. I mean, a wicked person can sow a nice seed.
Right.
They build bridges and libraries and everything else, you know. That's a natural thing. Yet God recognizes an act of faith without any supernatural manifestation. He recognizes his faith released and put him in the Hall of Fame. Enoch walked with God. Do we see any mention of Enoch doing any miracles? Did Enoch jump into heaven by himself? Just God took it. It's natural. Now, I know there's a supernatural component because we're talking with God. But as far as miracle power being released, there's nothing mentioned. Natural. How about Noah building a boat? N or S?
Natural.
Anybody can build a boat. You just need a hammer. A saw, right? Some wood. I see anybody, but you know, it's not something that requires a move from heaven to do. I'm sure he had to believe for resources. But yet, it's a natural thing he did. How about Abraham leaving his homeland, natural or supernatural?
Natural.
Anybody can make a move. In February of 1963, my father received word he was being transferred from Wichita, Kansas to Huntsville, Alabama. We loaded up a truck, moved to Beverly. I mean, we moved to Huntsville, Alabama. Us and another family, and we moved together down in Huntsville. And that's why I speak like I do today. I used to sound like you guys. And so, moving is something anybody can do. It's natural. How about staying where God put him? Natural, supernatural. Natural. Of all of these first mentions of faith in the scripture, what is it? Five of them? Two for Abraham, Noah, Enoch, and Abel. Five mentions of faith, all are natural. Then we come to Sarah. Sarah in verse 11. Is receiving strength to receive a child, deliver a child when your body's been dead for years? Is that natural or supernatural? So we finally get to a supernatural move. Quit thinking you have to do a miracle for God to approve of your faith. It's what you do with your faith to follow God, to pursue God. Amen. To honor God. God says, if you use your faith, I'm pleased with it. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. But something else that stood out to me. I didn't mention it at homecoming, but I'm mentioning it again tonight. The first mention of a supernatural miracle of God in the world is by a woman. Yet religion will say women can't preach. I believe this passage tells us otherwise. Amen. See, ladies got all that old perked up on that. That's right.
That's right.
First mention of a miracle in his faith on the fame is a woman. I find that amazing. Amen. And so, we're seeing these releases of faith. Now, you may have never needed supernatural childbirth. We didn't. I looked at Patty, she got into an expectant condition. Miss Fertility right there now. So we had to make other changes. You may not have needed that. But if you believe God for any kind of healing, you follow. If you've been delivered from, you know, the flu, or you've been delivered from an injury, pain levels or whatever. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. You're using the Word to see your body healed, much less using your faith to see other people healed. Have you ever prayed for someone? They got healed. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Because Abraham never did that. No account that Noah ever did. In fact, Noah after the flood gets drunk. Do you follow me? These guys made mistakes. Abraham denied Sarah was his wife since she's my sister, which was a half-truth. Because he's afraid of the Egyptians. Yet God says, your faith they release is worthy of note in my eternal scriptures. Quit letting the devil eat your lunch. I don't know if we're going to make it through introduction tonight or not. We'll see what happens. Review. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith by having received the promises. Now he's talking about these died in faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never saw the promise manifested. Right? We can throw Joseph in the bunch as well. Never saw it. Not to mention 400 years of Israel in captivity in between. But God said they're in faith. You know one thing that kept them in faith? They wouldn't stop talking about the promise. In fact, we're going to get to it before we finish this teaching. We talked about it before. God says, by faith, Isaac prophesied over Jacob. By faith, Jacob prophesied over Ephraim and Manasseh and even Joseph. By faith, Joseph prophesied about his bones coming out. You know what that represents? Their prophecies all dealt with going to the promised land. But God blessing and favoring them. They never let go of the promise that God says, you're coming out, that's your land. Don't stop speaking. God's called us to the glory. Don't say it's not working. Don't say I failed. Don't say it's I must have missed God. Keep declaring what the Word says. I'm sure by the time Abraham hit 99 years old, he was saying, this isn't working. And then God, right in the midst of God says, change your name. Right? Get circumcised. Now, if you're going to obey God at 99 and get circumcised, you're serious about obeying God. Moving right along. They died in faith, not having received the promise of the promised land. You've been receiving promises all along. Have you ever prayed for wisdom and God give you an answer? Prayed for peace in a relationship, God straightened it out. Right? Prayed for God to correct your spouse and it happened without nagging. It's happened for me. When I was nagging about her, but not smoking dope anymore, God told me to quit it. He couldn't change as long as I was trying to. Finally, last year, she finally gave it up. I'm sorry, that was 1984.
That's my favorite, sir.
That's 40 years difference, right?
Oh, goodness.
Look at this. Verse 13 again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. It hasn't happened yet. Looks like it's going to take forever. When are we ever going to get our building? When are we going to get our facility? And were persuaded to them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They would not stop confessing what God had told them. See, here's washing our words again. And God calls it using your faith. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Let's go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now here's Abraham again, a third time he's mentioned as far as by faith. Every time you see by faith, that's somebody using their faith for something different. And Isaac had a promise that Abraham had a promise that Isaac would be his heir. And then God says, now kill him. And we went through last time why God said that. Abraham had made a covenant with Abimelech, Philistine, a heathen, planted a grove, which is what the wicked do. And God said, you can act like a heathen and sacrifice your child like a heathen do. That's what happened. What God said, well, I need to test you. No, Abraham had stepped out of his covenant bounds, out of how God had declared he should be pursuing him, and is now compromising with the demonic system. And God said, do we need to look at that?
Yes.
Hold this spot. Go to Genesis chapter 16, I think it is. Genesis 21. And verse 22, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me, hereby God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son. In other words, he's going generationally. But according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land where thou wast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. Now whether Abraham should have made this covenant or not, we don't know for sure, but we know throughout the rest of the word, God says, don't make a covenant with the wicked. So talk about this covenant and what they both contributed to it. Verse 32, and they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. How many of that was Israel's eternal enemy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Abraham planted a grove at Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Now, if you will study out the Mosaic law, God repeatedly said, do not plant a grove near the temple. Don't use a grove to worship. I'm sure you could have an orchard, but you couldn't plant a grove for the purpose of, how can I say, tree worship. God is not a greenie. And Abraham got caught up in the worship of the Philistines, which included human sacrifice. And look at chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, and he says, take your son, verse 2. God was saying, you're going to act like a heathen, make covenants with him. Let's go all the way with it.
Ooh, boy.
Of course, Abraham obeyed, and I bet he never planted another grove. God is attention. So, I saw, what was it, Facebook yesterday or today, that, do you remember what it was? One of the social media are giving instructions of how to build an altar of blood sacrifice unto Moloch.
Wow.
Today. I'm talking about in today's time. Instructions are online to build a blood sacrifice altar to Moloch. And of course, they've already been around anyway because we call them abortion clinics. You know, at the abortion clinics, they were, and the heathen would have these brass bowls, you know, like a cow bowl. They'd have a fire under them and put the babies inside or in the arms of Baal and cook the babies alive as a form of sacrifice. And now we just rip them piece by piece out of the womb. A couple of woman's right. Anyway, Abraham got into that. But God gives him credit then when he was called on it, back to Hebrews 11. I need to wind this up, don't I? I have so many places I want to go today. Verse 17 again, by faith Abraham, when he was called or tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also you received him in a figure, talking about a figure of Christ, sacrificing your son, raising him from the dead. But that's not why God told Abraham to do it. God's not telling his people to kill their kids. It was getting his attention. And of course, before he followed through, God gave him a substitute. You follow me? Gave him a substitute to sacrifice instead, because God had no intention of having Isaac killed, even though he could have raised him. That's not how our God operates. Yet Abraham had gotten off the track. God got his attention. Does that help clear some things up for you?
Yeah.
I think the word makes it clear that's what was going on. And so, what does it represent to us? Was the sacrifice of Isaac natural or supernatural? Natural. I mean, God did bring supernaturally another substitute there, but Abraham didn't do anything supernatural, didn't manifest any miracles. He was just obedient. Do you follow me? And I believe, if we'll believe God to come out of dead situations, even like in here, there are people that are ready to, you know, put the headstone up on us and plant grass seed. But God gives you faith credit for believing. There's another side to it.
Amen.
Another chapter that you're about to turn and read and experience. And you believe in God to come out of dead situations. Amen. Maybe there's dead situations in your health. I've had one or two things that I've had to believe God for. Migraine headaches, I'm free. Praise God. Bad back, totally delivered. I can lift anything now. My wife coming out of the hospital when they didn't know if she'd make it or not with COVID and coming out, they said, you'll be on oxygen the rest of your life. You have the lungs of a 74-year-old woman who smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day all her life, and you'll never come out of it. She was on oxygen 3 months, and after 3 months, her oxygen hit 100% almost overnight. No more oxygen, no more need for it. She runs 100% all the time. New lungs.
Yeah.
Dead situations.
Oh. Yeah.
97 to 100. I was rounding. I mean, it's always elevated. It's not down to 80, okay? Dead situation. You used your faith to come out of it. And I bet there's dead situation. Financially, we've looked dead. I mean, looked over. And God will say, sow that seed, and then there will be a harvest. They're about to kick my daughter out of school. We didn't have any credit card space, couldn't take out a loan, had no hope at all paying her school bill. They said in 2 weeks we lock her out of the system. So I put a car up for sale that I'd restored, a 1988 Ottawa Camaro. Oh, it was nice. I was going to sell it, get the money, and pay her school bill. And a Tuesday night, really about a week before her bill's due, God said, I want you to sell the car, told us to give it to. I turned to Patty, we're in a church meeting in Lexington on a Tuesday night. I turned to Patty and said, God just told me to sow the Camaro. She says, we got to sell it to pay for her school. They're about to lock her out. She's close to graduation. They're about to kick her out. We know the money. Couldn't get it. And she says, God said, are we have to sell it to pay the bill? I said, no, but God told me to sow it. And I told him where to sow it to. He told me the name. She said, I think that's God. So I called. It was a 17-year-old boy. He worked for us at the coffee shop. I called his parents on a Saturday night. I said, I want him to come to church Sunday. I'm going to give him the keys to this car, if you permit it. Because this is a high horsepower car. It can get away from you quick. I need your permission. They said it'd be fine. So he came to church the next day. I gave him the keys to the car. So this is yours now. He was happy. I restored it from the ground up. I mean, new interior, new paint. All new bodywork, painted it myself. And after church, one of my church members came into my office and said, last Tuesday I was in church, same night God spoke to me, and God told me to give you this, and he handed me a check for $10,000.
Wow.
Same night God tells me to sow the car, God tells me to sow me $10,000. Had I not sown it, I believe I'd have never seen the $10,000. He gave me a check for $10,000. He said, "This is for the church. Put $5,000 in the church." We paid off the school bill, credit cards, and everything else. Faith steps. Dead situation you believe God to bring you out of. And I'm telling you what, we're in a time. We've got to use our faith. So we're seeing all these men and women of God doing individual things, or even sometimes multiply. God put them in this eternal list. Now, here's my question. Have you done any of these? Have you sown a seed? Have you spent time walking with God? Have you done some kind of project like Noah did? Maybe not for 100 years, but you obeyed God doing something?
Yes.
How about this? Have you left your homeland, or maybe your home church, your home denomination?
Yes.
Have you stayed in the facility the church God told you to go to, or stayed in the assignment God had for you? Have you believed God to come out of dead situations? Seen miracle healings? There's a chance some of us have done it all. Seen it all. But if you've done one, great to let yourself tell the devil to shut up here in the faith hall of fame.
Amen.
I believe there'll be a list in heaven when we get up there. This is just what they could put in print. You'll get up to heaven, there'll be a list. Here's what all the people did using your faith. I mean, there's books up there that list it. They'll be open for everybody. We can read each other's books in heaven. Here's what, and it'll be what they did good. God leaves out the bad, is blanked out by the blood.
Yeah.
Pastor Don Pickney came and ministered to us one time. He's been called up to heaven like 7 times. God showed him the books. God showed him only the goods listed. Everything else is whited out, locked out. Quit letting the enemy take on you. Tell you that you don't have enough faith. Shut up! I'm in God's kingdom list. Have you got anything out of this?
Yes.
Remind me next week where I left off, and we'll pick it up from there. Praise God. Because I had planned to go through Gideon tonight. So we should make it through the review. Father, I thank you for your word. Seen it within us, within our hearts, our minds, our understanding, and calls to be people who step into divine opportunities in the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for our next facility. It's amazing, debt-free, and overflowing with blessing. Exactly where we need to have it positioned. I declare to this church there are none sick, none in pain, none oppressed, none in lack, none in fear, and there's no strife. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, so be it.